Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to see all of you. Look out, I notice that there are some seats empty, and I'm reminded of the passage in the book of 1 Samuel where David was going to be missing. And Jonathan said, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed because your seat will be empty." And that is very true. Whenever any of us are not here, you are missed. You're missed. And we miss those who aren't here today. But we're glad to have you. And it's really wonderful to see John Castle with us again after being ill for several weeks. He's really a blessing to us to have him with us. In the book of Philippians, we've been presenting some lessons there in the book of Philippians, and today we come to the close of this study, this series of lessons, and we are in the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 10, and there Paul talks about learning how to be content. A very valuable lesson for us all today, living as we do in a culture of consumerism and where the watchword seems to be more, 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 more. We want more, more all the time. And we read here a wonderful lesson from the Apostle Paul about learning to be content. And it is possible for us as Christians to learn this lesson, and yet it is one that we have to learn, as the Apostle Paul learned that lesson himself. As he began this last closing words of the letter, he turned to the thought of thanking the Philippians for their gift. He wanted to make sure that they knew that how much he appreciated the gift that they had sent to him. And he said, "But I rejoiced greatly in the Lord. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." I'm impressed how the Apostle Paul rejoiced greatly in this gift that they sent to him. And I would remind all of us how important it is as we live our lives day to day to be able to have those times where we rejoice greatly. Sometimes in the little things of life that come our way, the blessings that we receive from God, to hold on to that ability to rejoice greatly in those moments of your life. To be able to see that this is a wonderful blessing that this person has done something for me, to go out of their way to do something of kindness for me. How important that is to recognize that as a blessing from God and to rejoice greatly in that. And the Apostle Paul did that, and he understood that this meant a lot coming from the Philippians, that they had sent Epaphroditus this journey from Philippi to Rome to bring some gift for him for his needs as he was in the prison at that time. And Paul mentioned the fact that this had been done earlier by the Philippians when they had years ago been converted, and now after many years had gone by, they again renewed that kind of concern for him. And they had not had opportunity in there. They had wanted to do those kinds of things, but hadn't had the opportunity. Now the opportunity came along, and they certainly showed that concern and care that they had for him. A little background of this letter is good to refresh our memory about that. Because it had been about 10 years since the Apostle Paul founded the church in Philippi, we read about that in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter of Acts. And at that time, Paul had come to Philippi and been put in prison, and the Philippian jailer was converted, and the household of Lydia was converted, and the church began. But Paul had to shortly after that leave from the city, and he recalls here how they had at that time sent to help him. In the 15th verse here of chapter 4, he said, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities." He's recalling something that we don't have specific information about there in the book of Acts, but when the Apostle Paul had left Philippi, he did go to Thessalonica. And he points out the fact that while he was there in Thessalonica, they had sent to his needs twice. Not once, but twice. The church here in Philippi had done that. And that impressed him that they were a congregation of caring and love, and he never forgot that. But now, time had gone by, and now the Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome. At the end of the third journey that he had gone on, he had been arrested and come to Rome. And now that he was there in prison, now they had sent again to his needs. They had sent Epaphroditus there to help him. He says in verse 10, "I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." Then in verse 18 he says, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God." It's good to imagine that circumstances so that we get a little clearer picture of exactly what was happening here. Why this meant so much to Paul. And he comments about that and thanks them. In fact, I think that was one of the main reasons for the letter, was to write and thank them for this. But we've all been so greatly blessed by the Philippian letter to be able to have that access to those words that he shared. And in verse 11, he said, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am therein to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere, and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I'm sure there's quite a few of us here this morning can relate to that part about I have learned to be in need. I have learned to be abased. You know, when a lot of us got married and we were living in that first apartment, or we were living in that first house where we were so happy to be married, you know, and start our life together, and yet we had so little. We've learned how that means to tighten up your belt and make it through to the next paycheck. We know what that's like. And now some of us are being able to enjoy life a little more with prosperous times coming. But we need to understand that what Paul is saying is here is one way or the other, you can be content. There's a happiness, there's a joy that you can have in your life that really doesn't have anything to do with those circumstances. It's within you. It's in the person that you are inside that makes you to be a happy person, that makes you to be content. And the sadness of our times is that so many people have so many things, and yet they don't seem to have that quality of contentment that Paul is talking about here. And keep in mind, he's in prison. He's in prison when he is writing this. There has been times in his life where he was without, where he was persecuted, where he was in shipwreck. He went through all sorts of difficult times in his life. And yet, there was other times that he had enjoyed wonderful times. And now he was in prison, but he had learned that lesson. That's what we need to understand. He learned how to be content. He wasn't born with that. That wasn't something that came naturally to the Apostle Paul any more than it comes naturally to us. Something that you learn. You learn to be content in life. with where you are, with today, the way things are right now, learn how to be content. And that's one of the greatest lessons you can ever possibly learn in life. To learn to be happy, to learn to see the blessings around you, and thank God for those every day that you live. I mean, every day that we wake up, we need to be thankful to be alive. I mean, we could be like those people up at Oso that were buried in the mudslide. We could be like those people on the airline plane that went down. We could be like those people down in Fort Hood who were victims of this latest shooting. Be able to realize life is a blessing. Life, every day that God gives us. I remember John Hoagland, diagnosed with cancer. And one Sunday I asked him to preach. And he had only been given like 3 or 4 months to live. And as we saw him walking up here in the pulpit, we're all thinking, I wonder what he's going to say. He's going to talk about his cancer, going to talk about how treatments are going. He didn't say one thing about that. He talked about Christ. He talked about his faith. He talked about how God has been so good to us. That's the way we need to look at our lives, the blessings that we have. And so he says, everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This word content that Paul uses here is a word that is not used very often in the New Testament. But it is a word that means to be sufficient, to be satisfied, to be adequate. Is a word that he does use this word, and is translated sufficient in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where Paul was talking about that he had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed that God would remove that thorn in the flesh. But God came back and answered him, and he said that, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the same word that he's using here. My grace is sufficient. It's all you need. You have my grace. And all these other trials and struggles that we face in life, we can deal with those because we have the grace of God. And so Paul was content in his life. It's a quality that many of the Greeks thought was a desire to be quality in their life, but they were their philosophy was really the Stoic philosophy. And of course, with the Stoic philosophy, they took everything to an extreme in that it was no smile, no expression of your face. You know, it's everything that happens is the same thing. You just look at it; it looks like a stone image, and there's no emotion. That, you know, like if your dog is crossing the street and it gets run over, no big deal. You know, nothing phases the Stoic, and we have a lot of that has filtered down into our thinking today. That people think, now if I show any emotion at all, that's going to be a sign of weakness. That is not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Paul had emotion, he had feelings, he cared about people. But what he is saying is because of Christ, he's not going to worry about the external circumstances, whether it's good or whether it's bad, everything is good. As far as your life as a Christian, be thankful for it. Be content. Be sufficient. You're adequate. You've got all you need. God has given us the blessings of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life. And what more could we ask for? But we oftentimes live our lives today that it's always something else is out there. It's like the man that I saw the poem, and I don't have that with me, but he was talking about, he said, you know, when it was spring, I wanted it to be summer. I wanted those hot days. And then when it was summer, I wanted it to be fall, because I wanted to see those leaves changing. When it was fall, I wanted it to be winter. I wanted to see that cold snow falling. When it was winter, I wanted it to be spring. When I was young, I wanted to be old enough to get married. When I got married, I wanted to be middle-aged. When I got to be middle-aged, I wanted to be young again. Now I'm old, and I've never had what I wanted in my life. That's sad that people live their lives that way. It's always something else. They cannot stop to realize you've got a wonderful life. You're blessed. You have friends who care about you. You have family. Be thankful for those things every day that you live. The Apostle Paul has said in writing to Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So there's a fine line that we need to learn how to be content with the things that are necessary in life and realize that we have sufficiency. We don't need to be constantly searching and greedy for other things. There are four basic necessities that Paul talked about there. What we put on us is our clothes. Second, what we put in us, that's our food. Third, what we put over us, that's the house we live in. And what we put aside, that's the money for the future. And we have those things, and you have everything you need. Be content with that. And don't be trying to lay up for store everything in the future. There's a balance in all of that. The Bible says that we need to provide for our own, and if we do not provide for our own, we're worse than an unbeliever. So certainly a person needs to work, he needs to have a job, he needs to not be, as Paul described in the book of 2 Thessalonians, if any will not work, neither should he eat. But at the same time, we need to have a balance to understand, I have all things that I need. I don't need to be always out there thinking that I'm not content. I need more. That's what the advertisers want us to believe. There's always something else, some gadget, some gizmo that we don't have, and they want us to go out and buy that and not be content until we have it. But we have all that we need. We need to appreciate the blessings of life that we do indeed have. Read about a man that was cleaning his fishing after he had been out fishing and, he had caught enough for the day, and he was sitting there enjoying the sunshine. A corporate business executive kind of guy walked along and he says, you ought to be out there fishing and making enough fish to lay up, and you could get ahead and you could be better and you can improve your life. And then someday you could sit there and enjoy it. He said, "What do you think I'm doing right now? I'm enjoying it." We don't have to have everything in the world to be able to enjoy the life that we have, that God has given us. Now, he says he is content with the power of Christ that is within us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it is Jesus in our life that gives us that strength. That gives us that. He doesn't say I can do all things through education. Or I can do all things through more money. I can do all things through having power. It's through Christ that we can do all things. All things that we need to do. He doesn't mean that I'm going to become Superman and I can leap tall buildings with a single bounce. But he's saying that anything that comes my way in my life, things that I have to deal with, things that I have to endure, trials that I face, choices that I make, I can do all of those through Christ who strengthens me. Now, he was content, though, also because of the people in his life. And we need to be content because of the people that God has put there. We need to be content where God has placed us, and recognizing the fact that we could always be saying, I wish I had that house over there. I wish I could, you know, live in this place or that place over there. Learn to be content where God has placed us. Be thankful for the goodness of the blessings we have. He said, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Another problem that we sometimes have is we never want to accept anything from anyone else. Sometimes people would like to give you a gift, and when that happens, you need to accept it. You need to be willing to accept it, that they would like to give it to you. And that's okay. It's easy to have the attitude that I'm not ever supposed to accept anything because people might get the impression that I am not able to take care of myself. But people do sometimes want to do a nice thing for you. And when that happens, thank them for it. Be grateful for the care that they have for you. And Paul said, I don't need those things. I wasn't in need. It wasn't as if I didn't receive it. I couldn't have gotten along without it. But it was good because it was such a great thing for them to do. The spiritual growth, the blessing they get from it, is what he was most excited about. So learning to be grateful for the people in your life, whether that be the little children, the grandchildren, the friends that we have, appreciate people and the gifts they want to give us. Oftentimes it's those little gifts that our children bring to us that means the most. I can remember sometimes receiving a gift from one of our girls that would be maybe a picture that they had drawn or something that, of a craft that they made. And those little things like that means more to you than anything else because of the thought that went into it, the care and the love. He's saying that it brings a blessing to the one who receives the gift. That's true, but it also brings a blessing to the one who gives the gift. And it brings blessing to God. So for people to give a gift, that's a treasure. Treasure it. Be thankful for it. Appreciate the people around you. And then thirdly, he talks about contentment with the God who sustains us. And he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. It's great to be able to know that God is promised to supply our needs. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. First of all, it's very personal. My God. Secondly, it's very positive. He will supply. Third, it's very pointed. All your needs. It's plentiful according to His riches and powerful by Christ Jesus. We have that promise that God will provide for us. He will supply all our needs. He then comes to the final greeting. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Paul was there in prison in Rome, and he implies here that there were saints that had been converted in Caesar's household. Somehow the association with Paul through his imprisonment and getting to know him, overhearing some of the things that he was teaching and talking about, some of his servants or even the soldiers of Caesar's household were now converted to Christ. He had that ability, he had that winning life that drew people to Christ to be around the Apostle Paul. And we can have that same thing when God is at work in your life. It can make a tremendous difference to you. There's a saying that many of us have heard, bloom where you're planted. And that is a good way of looking at your life. Wherever God places you, bloom there where you're planted. Some other sayings that I like. Life is like a road trip. We may not always know where we're going, but it's a sweet ride. Life is mostly froth and bubbles, but two things stand as a stone: kindness in another's trouble, courage in your own. The sun setting is no less beautiful than the sun rising. If you're too busy to listen to your children, you're too busy. The reason a bird can sing is that on the darkest day he believes in the spring. And sometimes God calms the storm, and sometimes he lets the storm rage and calms his child. There are many sayings like that that are comforting to us as Christians to think about the daily blessings of life that God gives us. So we need to learn to be content, to realize that we are sufficient, that we are adequate, that if we have God and we have Christ, we really have all we need. And we can face the future with confidence, knowing that God will supply our needs. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation of Jesus, we're going to stand and sing the invitation song, and we hope that you'll respond to it and commit your life to Jesus, so that you can truly say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, knowing that He is in your life and that you are committed to Him. We're going to stand and sing the invitation then, and if you're subject in any way, we hope you'll respond while we stand together and sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus.